Welcome to Prevailing Prayers with GSW. This promises to be another transformative time with the Word of God. Let your hearts be ready to receive the Word mixed with faith that would yield innumerable testimonies in your life. God bless you as you listen.
Welcome to today's session. We'll begin to look. We'll get that answered prayers. When we pray, our prayers are answered. We never hide the cause to anything. To experience what they call delayed, in the things that the Lord has laid upon our hearts to do. And again, because of certain questions that some of my brothers and sisters, some of whom I did know, are asking, I decided that I'm going to teach today on the secrets to answered prayers. And everybody will realize that it is not like they didn't or they haven't heard anything like it before. It is how they have learned some of these things that has caused the problem that is leading to delay. A lot of people engage God mentally. Yeah. It is of the mind. They have a mental assent kind of faith. They believe God with their mind. They believe God the way they believe logic. Logic is of the mind. From their conversations, you know that they don't really understand what it means to have faith. So I don't teach on faith deliberately. I definitely don't teach on it because in the whole of the scriptures that I've read in my life, faith has always been an action, a deed. So I definitely avoid making it a topic of discussion. So I'm not talking of faith today. I'm talking about the heart. How to position your heart. How to set your heart aright. Or how to make your heart pliable so that you can receive answers to your prayers. It is important that you understand why I do not preach on faith as a topic. I believe that faith is meant to be believed. It's meant to be an actual word. It's not something to put in your logical pocket and begin to theorize and define. Because many people, that is the origin of their problem. The things they ought to do, they define it, they find the English words for it. And at the end of the day, they cannot do it anymore. They will say, oh, Baringa, I know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. What is that faith? Faith is the substance of things that I hope for. The end of things don't say, what is that faith? It is not English. Faith is not English. It is either you have it or you don't. It is something to have, not something to know. It's not something to know. Faith is something to have. And the greatest expression that any one of us can give to God lies in our hearts. Our hearts are king. Our heart is king. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? God gives you a word. God says to you, I will make you great. You cannot. I know a lot of people that believe that with their brain, and they never became great. They will be reciting it to me. But I've been here in 1989. God said, you will make me great. This is year 2008. God has already made me great. I'll just be shaking my head for them. That is a recipe for failure, is receiving God's word and putting it in your mind. Because it is not there that it will work. It will never work if it is in your mental balance or if it is in your mind or in your soul. The word of God only must be responded to only with your heart. The response of your heart is faith. The response of your heart is faith. So when you see somebody does not have faith, it is as a result of where the heart, the person's heart is. The person's heart is not positioned for faith. It does not believe God in his heart. Believe God in his head. Religious people, all religious people believe God in their head. They don't believe God in their heart. The Pharisees, they believe God in their head. Why? The Moses turned faith into a set of rules and regulations for them. And that killed their faith completely. Once faith goes from being spiritual or being an aqueous reality into solid form, faith is dead. Faith can never be solid. Immediately, Moses, who was a man of faith, but Moses encountered God and had an experiential relationship with God, but he left the children of Israel with a logical relationship, a relationship that was written on paper, on tablet of stone. The children of Israel began to worship the tablet of stone, and they didn't have any relationship with God at all. Their hearts became hardened. The more they were reading the Talmud and the Rakim, the more their heart became hardened, the more their neck became stiff, the more God couldn't reach them. And that was because Moses made the mistake of trying to break faith down into something that they can read and write and understand. Faith does not operate in the realm of logic. Why Jesus came, they couldn't recognize him. Why? Because again, what they believed in was the wrong thing. They should believe in the God that gave the instructions that made them, not in the law that anybody gave them. So it is important for today's class that everybody relax a bit. And begin to look at the positioning of your heart. Where is my heart? If you are here and listening to me, you're sick and you have not been healed. Where is your heart? Where did you position your heart? If there are promises that God has not fulfilled in your life, it has to do with your heart. It is not that God, you don't have to pray that prayer 1 million times before God will hear. You don't have to pray it 50,000 times. You do not have to pray any prayer more than once. If your heart is in the right place, most of us, our hearts are not in the right place. The Bible always records people whose hearts are in one place and why they were limited in their capacity to hear God or to know God or to walk with God. It is because God deals with our hearts directly. Our hearts, with the hearts we believe, with the hearts, not with the mind, not with the brain, with the hearts, man believe. With the hearts, man believe. Then we confess what we believe with our mouths, and that leads to our salvation. So our heart is very key to experiencing the supernatural, to opening the door to intervention, to experiencing the fulfillment of the promise of God, to healing the sick and to receive healing. Anything that we want to do in the realm of the spirit, it is our heart that will be the key to getting it done. I got a call today that prompted me to want to teach this class. And this is not the first time that I've got such a call. You see young people who have plans to be great in life. And that is a good thing, to have ambition, to have plans to be great. But their heart is not in God. God to them seems like just a prop, that they want to use God to get to where they are going, like a ladder you climb. And I've seen this several times, a male, female, somebody is looking for a child. Person just wants to use God to get pregnant. Somebody is looking for a job, just wants to use God to get the baby. Just that. And oftentimes, they will meet one pastor or one apostle, and that will stay with them, and they will get that thing, but that thing will take them away from God. Because the true intention of God is not for him to get to give us things outside of his knowledge. It should be a very bad. I've seen people, I've seen children who didn't grow up with their parents before. They had no relationship with their parents, but their father was sending them pocket money. Father would pay school fees, but they don't meet him. Their mother would tell them, "Oh, you rather accept your school fees. You rather accept your school." They knew that they had a father who was financially responsible, but there was no relationship. Because there was no relationship, when they meet their father, there is always this psychological distance. They wouldn't be free with their father. The children that knew their father would be free with their father. They couldn't relate with their father that way because there was no relationship. I think you guys know what I'm talking about. Many of us, this is how our relationship with God is. We want a God that will just give us stuff. But we don't have a vital relationship. Our heart is not in the right place. Our hearts. I'm not in the right place. And as a result of that, we are like strangers. Even though we speak in tongues, we on a serious note, anybody who has a good relationship with God will never ever call any pastor of this world to say, "Sir, I need prayer." You will never do it. It is lack of relationship that takes us to that place. I never do it. I can't remember the last time I ever called anybody to say to the person that God did not know. We can discuss faith, we can discuss normal things, just to build each other off. I like to do that a lot, but not on the issue of receiving from God or God not answering my prayer. I can never. My heart is in the right place for my God. I have a good relationship with God. The kind of relationship that many people here will be shocked. Like having that, I have a absolutely self-watered and heaven-endorsed relationship with my father. I do not wait for anybody's validation on that. I know where my heart is with him. And this is the direction, this is the place where I'm supposed to take everybody to. A place where you know your God for yourself. When you know your God, this is not a place where you put, when you know God for yourself. When we pray like this, those who know their God, you will see them doing those words. It is knowledge. That knowledge is a knowledge of the heart. It's not the knowledge of the mind. It is not, "I was born a Christian. My father is a Christian." No. It is you. Do you know your God? Have you had a heart-to-heart encounter with your God? Do you know your God in your guts, in your heart? Do you know him? the book of Proverbs, God says, give me your heart. He said, give me your mind. He said, give me your brain. He said, give me your heart. So how do we know if our heart is in God? You see, the best analogy I can give you is twofold. I thank you for good that I'm teaching this class as if I'm teaching those who are just coming to know the Lord. So those of us who are mature, please bear with me. This class cannot be taught in an advanced manner, except we have a conference for ministers, and I'll then have to operate on the assumption that everybody has gotten this heart thing sorted. But right now, I'm talking as if I'm talking to my kids, the baby Christians. And because of the kind of questions I've gotten, and I'm trying to make sure that you carry everybody along in this prayer season, that everybody gets their right heart frame, right? So that nobody is left behind. So please bear with me. I know how it is when a husband and a wife are expecting a baby. Their heart is on that child, the welfare of that child. The baby will not ask for anything of them. The baby does not know what to ask for. But because they love the Lord, or because they love the baby, sorry, they will take a prayer. They will take a piece of paper. They will work hard, make money. They will not begin to spend this money on this baby. Like, they are going to have a baby. Baby cannot walk, baby cannot talk, baby cannot drive for anything. But they will make money. They will work. They will take a loan. Their interest will be in what they have this baby. That is not logic. That is heart. That is heart. Logic will tell you that this baby is an inconvenience. It's best we give out to this baby and give this baby away so that we can go back to our convenient life. That is logic. If you enter in the realm of logic, that's what a husband and a wife who operate on a logical plane will never have a child. To them, a baby, what is the point? You are going to accommodate, bring this person into your body. You get fat, you get big. You now deliver this baby. You now be crying every day, crying every night, disturbing your life. You will now be feeding the baby. A baby will poo poo. You'll be cleaning it. There is no logical explanation to any two people having children. The only logical explanation is heart, is love. Or the fact that conscience, some, they have children, but not because they love the children, but because of their conscience, and some because they want to manipulate a man to get more money from him. There are so many reasons why people have children. But in the typical, basic, typical thinking, the only definition, the only explanation that fits us having children is love. And then you will notice that we will be doing the bidding of this baby from day one. We will play cartoons. We will buy a cot. We will buy toys. We will be mindful of this baby. We will do everything to make this baby comfortable. We will take baby for antenatal. We will take baby for postnatal. We will take baby for injections. We will pay attention. We will feed this baby. We will adjust our life clock, body clock, to fit to this baby. We will do everything for this child. We will dedicate our whole life to this child. Up until the child is an adult, our heart is in this child. This is how a Christian must treat God. Many of us don't, but that is the way we should treat God. Our heart should be on God in such a way that we are doting on Him. We are here to do his will, just the way you do the will of a baby. He doesn't even need to ask. You are on the lookout for everything that will make God proud, make God happy, make God comfortable, make God joyful. That is all. That is the right position of the heart of a Christian. So when Jesus wanted to show us God, he used the parable of a father and his children. He said, "You being wicked in your heart, you regard yourself as more righteous than God, because your children will not ask you for fish and you give them snake, nor ask you for bread and you give them stone." You see, because our position of our hearts with our children is naturally that of love. And our position of our heart with God must be that of love. That was why Jesus Christ said, "My meat is to do the will of my Father." He said, "Whatever I see my Father do, I do. My meat is to do the will, is to do what God wants." That is the way we do what our children want. Our meat, all of us, is to pamper our children, to do whatever our children want. But many of us, that is not how we regard God. We regard God as the adult, and we regard ourselves as the children. And this then gives us a sense of entitlement. And that entitlement then debars us from working in faith. We have turned logic upside down. Many of us. We treat God as the adult. So we do not anticipate the needs of an adult. If an adult wants something, an adult better ask. An adult should be able to say to you, "This is what I want. This is what I want." You are not a baby. "This is what I want." That's how adults act. And so we deal with adults with logic. We don't deal with adults with emotion. We deal with them with logic. They ask to give. We ask, they give. If we say a gift, we give them. If they say a gift, they give us. That is adult thinking. And that's how many of us treat God. We treat God like an adult, the way we treat a fellow adult. But that is not the place. That's not how we should. We should treat God the way we treat a child in our hearts. What can I do to make him happy? What can I do to make him glad? You wake up in the morning, you are thinking of him. You are singing of him. You are dancing. The way we sing for babies, dance for babies. The way we would make a fool of ourselves for babies. The way we have no shame regarding babies. The way we would defend our babies. That is the way God is. That's how we must see God. That is the right posture of your heart. That weakness that you have for your child, that weakness, that vulnerability, that is the same vulnerability you must have towards God. That is how somebody who has rightfully positioned his or her heart regards God. That is why it is difficult for that person's prayer not to be answered. No matter what the person wants, it always be in alignment with what God also endorses, because the person does not go out of his way to hurt God or to make decisions that will make him leave God behind or to do anything that will say God can deal with himself. No, you will see that that heart, that was why Jesus Christ said that we should be like children at heart. We should not mature. When we are dealing with other people, we should mature. But in our dealings with God, we have to be like children. We have to be like that. We have to be so open-minded, so free, and so allowing of the things of God, of the reflections of God in our hearts. There's a good example I can give. It's the example of a man and a woman who really love each other. See, when two people love each other and they understand each other very well, you notice that they would have a synergy in which the husband will be in London, the wife will be in Nigeria, and the wife will know when the husband is asleep, she will know when he's waking up, she will know when he's eating, she will know everything about him, and she will have no doubt in her heart that this is what my husband is doing by this time. This is what my husband is doing by this time, because she has come to know him, and she has come to know him beyond just a husband and wife. It was as if she knew himself, or he knew himself. This is the right position of the heart of a Christian. A heart that always aims to please. A heart that is conditioned to please, to sacrifice, to give, to dote upon, to love, to care for, to cry over, to laugh with. That is how your heart must be. When we see people who do not operate this way, for you operate this way, when you see people who operate this way, it is irritating. The way they think, you will know that they do not know God. The way their logic works, they would so much be logical with God. You will know that their prayer will not be answered. You will know that they will never be able to walk in the supernatural. They will never be. There is something they can do. Let them do 1 million classes. They cannot. They cannot heal any sick person. They cannot do anything. They cannot visit any dead person. They do not have their heart in the right place. So for them, God is one of the factors to resolve on a mathematical chalkboard. For them. And they will just have a frustrating life. And they will say they are born again. They would say, "We have, I pray, God also answered me. I pray, I fast, I jump. This sickness is still there, but I'm going God. I'm going God. I didn't go. I still don't have a husband. God abandoned me." And you will know in your heart that that is not true. That they are the ones, their hearts are not in the right place. I love it when I see people's hearts is in the right place. You will see their language when they speak. Ha! Your heart will be burning. You know, my heart will be burning inside my chest. It will be as if my heart was suddenly going hot, like hot, because I'm speaking with somebody whose heart is in the right place. That person whose heart is in the right place is consciously not pretending. Not all these people that would memorize greater than the greatest, higher than the highest, larger than the best, flying than the jet, going than the railway, longer than the boats, all those things. They would memorize all these things, appellations, and they'll be calling God by those things from their head. That is not the heart of worship. See, the right heart is a heart that is so connected to God, that God flows into this heart and flows outward in one smooth move. You will know that this person knows the Lord. When we pray in the Spirit, it makes a whole lot of difference. When you meet somebody who knows the Lord. And you should be somebody who knows the Lord yourself. You cannot but be. Otherwise, you will find yourself struggling with your faith. You find yourself struggling with meaning. You find yourself falling into depression consistently, always asking questions, questions that the answers are in your spirit, but your brain will be asking questions. Hey, this thing, is that really God? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Because that is where you've come to know God, in the realm of logic. You have to teach yourself to recondition yourself to know God beyond this world. God is not of the mind. God in the mind drives the heart mad. When you see people who try to put God in their mind, that's why a lot of Westerners, they find it easier to take God out of the equation because they wouldn't put him in their heart. They wanted to put him in their heart. And when you put God in your heart, the questions don't get answers. You'll just be looking at it and wondering, okay, so what is the point of having a God if all these problems still exist? If all these issues still exist, because God has been placed in the wrong place in the reality of that person. God has been placed in the person's mind. God in any man's mind drives the person crazy. That's why it will seem as if a lot of people don't get answers when they pray. Let me give you a good example of what I'm saying. For years, I had God in my mind, in my intellect, when I was in the university, still on the level. I had an encounter with God that was very spiritual. But instead of situating God in my heart, I situated God in my mind. I began to see God as my get out of jail card, grace or power. Because I believe that now that I have come to know God, anything I do, I can just say in Jesus' name and get away with it. See my logic. I believe that faith is me taking action. And if I take an action, if things don't work out, I just have to pray and things will work out. So in my mind, I have put God in the logical aspect. I have put faith in my ability to think and act. So faith has become my active affirmative action. If I wanted to pass a course, I have to go to the lecture, sit down, and listen to the course. However, if I don't go for that course and I still want to pass it, I just have to pray, and God will then teach me, and I will pray. So I cannot lose. If I like somebody, I want the person to be my friend. I have to like go after the person, pursue talk, be friends. But if I want to do, I just say, God, let this person talk to me tomorrow. Touch our hearts, touch his heart, and it will happen. I had logicalized God like that. If I needed money, I needed to ask God for money. And then I needed to write letters to people. I believe that that is act of faith. I write letters to people. I'll say, oh, I need your support. My CGPA is this, this, this. I need some amount of school fees. And if after writing the letters, I'll then wait and pray and face and fast and do other things. If an opportunity then comes with money, I should take the opportunity. It is God answering my prayer. And if the opportunity turned out to be not so right, I will pray about it and God will sort it out. I thought that was how. If I needed to rent a place, by faith, I don't have money. Okay, God provided the flat, I moved in. When I'm in the flat, I need to pay rent. I begin to look for a way to pay the rent. We can't do that, pay the rent. How do I pay the rent? Then somebody comes and says, oh, I have money to offer, but you should sublet one of your rooms to me. I should grab it. That is God answering my prayer. Of course, that's not God answering my prayer. That's just life. But because of how I place God, all those things, they are making my life full of errors. Full of errors. Because I didn't place God in my heart. I placed him in my logic, in my mind. And I was like that for many years. And you know the thing about errors, you will still think you're serving God. You would go to Bible school and you will teach what you know. You will teach what you know. You will even share some of your testimonies as God's work because you really didn't know God well and you thought it was God. I've got God figured out. You know, I got it figured out. If you sit down, I told you nothing will happen. So you must step out by faith. Step out. When you step out, go to this bank, go to that bank, go and talk to people, go and serve. That is faith. That is hustling, right? Because faith actually is very directional. God will tell you where to go if you are operating by faith. But God didn't tell you where to go. You just woke up, you spoke to 200 people at random. That is not faith. That is you marketing your products. That's not faith. That is any other person will do it. Even people who don't have faith, they will do that. But faith is I was going to pay my school fees in 3rd level. This was a bit tight. School fees did not come as such to come. My sponsors couldn't raise the money. And the exam was going to start. And I was in my room. My heart was on God. I didn't do normally. I will have done something. I will have found my way into the faculty officer's office. I will have taken the exam card. I will have stolen the exam card. I will have found the signature of all the people that are supposed to sign it. I will have written. I did that several times when I was in school. I will write my exam in 15 minutes and I'll get out. Nobody will know I've not paid. But this particular year, I said, no, I'm not doing all those. They were high risk. I could get expelled. So I said, no, I'm not going to do these things. If the money is late, it's late. If I have to have carry over, I have to have carry over. But I'll just let my heart stay on God. I'll just let my heart stay on God. This time, I'm not taking any risk. So I didn't. This was 2007. So I stayed in my room. Everybody was hustling and bustling. People are dressing up to go write exams. And I was a leading light in my department. And I knew that if I missed the exams, it would bring down my CGPA so badly. But I was just saying that I wasn't going to do anything. I wasn't going to stretch myself. I wasn't going to. If I perish, I perish. And my heart was on God. I wasn't regretting. I wasn't angry. I was lying on my bunks, again, and just blessing the Lord. As if nothing was happening. As if nothing was happening. And suddenly, somebody came to my room, asked me, are you writing the exams? I said, oh, I have some reasons I've not sorted. But he said, okay, instead of sitting at the room, let's go to Lagos. Let's go pick some what for today in Lagos. And I left the hostel, I jumped in the bus and we went. And my mates were writing exams. But my heart was on God. I wasn't even thinking of it. I wasn't bothered about it. No, God sorted it. I got to the place, the person there said, what's your name? What level are you? Why are you not in school? I said, oh, my school fees. I couldn't pay it. They said, okay. I'll give you money for your school fees. And that was it. The person paid my school fees that same day. I got back to school and they canceled the paper that was written. Everybody was. They went mad. Who did you call? What did you use? For the first time, we want to beat you in your. We want to beat you. You are the one topping the class. We want to beat you. And yet you canceled the paper. Who did you call? I didn't ask anybody because I didn't call anybody. But that was my heart on God. See what he did. Now, all the other times that I thought that God had my back, even when I would do something that is not in code, that is criminal, I would think it's a lack of faith. I cannot just sit down. The leper said, if he stay, we die. If he move, he dies. So let me move, you know? So I'll just move. Either it's a sanction of God or not, I'll just make moves. And then I would think God has got my back. Even though what I'm doing is not so, but let me just do it. If I don't do anything, I cannot just sit on my hand. I cannot just sit on my hand. However, that one time I realized, my God, there is a difference between when God is involved and when you are just the one just shooting staccato gun everywhere, trying to prove a point. Even if it works out, so many times your heart will be beating. You will know in your heart that you have done some things that you don't want anybody to open the book of remembrance. But you don't want that. You want God in your matter. That's why when I hear Christians having high blood pressure, hypertension, I'm like, why? Your heart is not on God. Your heart is on your efforts, on hustling. Your heart is on the problem. You are so conscious of the things, of the noise. And it is important that after today, or as I teach this class, you adjust your heart into the right place. I know it is against our human nature to be like Abraham and to willingly carry our own son on top of a mountain and put a knife on his throat with the willingness to kill our child. I know it is not natural, but that is what it means for your heart to be on God. That was what made Abraham the father of faith. That was the proof of faith. That Abraham so trusted God that the physical activity did not matter. What really mattered was the fact that he was obeying God. See, that all the physical things he did, all the torture he went through, they didn't matter to him. All that mattered to him was that he was obeying God. Yeah, that is what it means to stay on God. For feedback purposes, you understand my class so far? Can I see your hand, please? Tap, 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 tap. Nobody was like, we can only three people. Don't worry, you will get it. Listen to it again. Okay, number has increased. All right. What do I mean? What do I mean? Because it will sound philosophical. Again, this is something that should be. It is not something for anybody to teach. It's not something for anybody to teach. It's something that should be. You should, in your work with God, you should learn this thing. It should naturally happen to you. So it is not the easiest of class to teach. It is something that should be part of an evolution in your spirit as you come to know God for yourself and understand it for yourself. So I'm just postulating an idea to you now. I'm not doing a definite science. Yesterday was a definite science. I could talk about human nature all day long, and it will be definite science. But when it comes to your relationship with God, it's not science. It is supernatural. It is difficult to put into English. So the heart of the believer, as that deer pants for water, so my heart pants for you. As a mother's heart pants for that of her child, so should the heart of a believer pant for God. That loving God like that is he. If you see somebody who does not love God the way a mother loves her child, that person is putting God in a logical frame. God is in the person's mind, not in the person's heart. There is a way a mother loves her child. There is a way my mother loves me. That's the truth. My mom, my biological mother, when we were young, my siblings used to say that I was her favorite. And the reason was because I gave her the most trouble of all the children. And the scripture says that the shepherd had 100 sheep, that when one was lost, he left the 99. He went for that one. That's how God loves you. That's how we also must love God. We must love God in such a manner that we are unrepentant, unabashed, unashamed, absolutely committed. Not because God is asking us for anything, but because that is where our heart is. That is, we have no other option. In living, in dying, in plenty, in simple, in getting promoted, in not getting, it doesn't matter. The love a parent love for their child is absolute. A right-thinking parent loves their child absolutely, and they do not even expect the child to love them back. They just love the child. They just would spend the currency of love on that child 1,000,000%, with all dedication, with all attention, with all love, with tears, with sweat. They will go ahead and do everything for that child. That is how we must love God. Your heart must beat for him. It must be your evolution from within. You see, not carrying your baggage to God and saying, "God, give me money, give me shoes, give me clothes," all those ones. I'm telling you before God, I don't do them at all. I don't do them at all. I can't remember the last time that I did anything like that. I want to travel. I want visa. Never ever. I never ever. I will never ever do it. Never ever. It is beyond the. It is too outside the scope of my understanding of God. These things are here for me to own and to have. I don't need to beg for them. However, in your relationship with God and the evolution of your thinking, if you make God the centerpiece in such a way that your heart dotes on him, your heart is always on him, your mind is always on him, God is the full expression of your being. You deliberately set the Lord before you. He is by your right hand. You deliberately did that by yourself, a determination to love the Lord. There is nothing in this world that will not bow to you. The Bible said that God said that he was looking at the hearts of all the people in Israel, everybody. And then he saw the heart of David, a 17-year-old boy who loved him. How did David love the Lord? The way I just described. David had no younger brother to dote upon. He was the youngest. His father does not love him. He didn't love his father like that. He didn't love his father like that. His brothers did not. All of them are just siblings. But his heart was on God. He had no wife, no girlfriend. All the energy of love that David had, David was pouring it on God. He would, in his waking moment, he would compose poems to God. In his sleeping moment, he would write songs for God. Throughout his life, David had choir that is collecting salary, that was composing songs and singing in the temple to keep the presence of God in the temple all the days of his life. Imagine that kind of love. He had a choir. He himself was composing. They employed other people to compose. They were singing in the temple continuously, making music, making melodies. And they were collecting salary from David. David was paying them. Because he wanted to keep the presence of God in the heart, in the consciousness of the temple. So they had to be singing, to be worshiping, to be making melodies, to be making music, to be singing spiritual songs, to be singing psalms. David did that. He did that for God, the presence of God. Was a spiritual secret, a secret he learned. He made the temple the heartbeat of God in Israel, the way God was his own personal heartbeat when he was a nobody that God then found him. Love attracts love. People know when they are loved. God knew that David loved him. What did God then not give David? Why would God not give David everything David wanted? Because if you love the Lord, you can be trusted. God can say, let him be the one to take care of this fund. Let him also be the one to take care of this project. Please let him be the president. He loves me. He will teach other people. Let him win that battle. Yeah. Please let him be the head of his whole family. Yeah, let him be the head of that bond. Anything. Bring everything to JSW. Bring everything. Let every lie lead to him. You see? Why? Because God knows that because you love him, you are going to treat people fairly. He can give you things so that you can give them to people. So you answer people's prayer. He knows that you are not going to be selfish, you are not going to be wicked, you are not going to be intolerant, you are not going to be sniping at people. You are just going to express that heart full of love unto people, and you will show a true reflection of him to people. So then God can never make somebody who loves him an inconsequential person in society. So you see those who love God, how they fly, how they are always on top, how they rule the earth, how God is always positioning them in position of honor among men. It's not simply because God is just favoring them. No, because they are the true reflection of God to people. I can name some people in our world today who are still alive, men of God, who it was the love they have for God that they are leading upon to become great in life and destiny. They love God. When you love God, things are not difficult. But when you see somebody who really does not love God, see the way they think, the way they talk. They have their plan. They just want God to say amen. You know? Like, but I mean, God, this is my plan. They just don't have the plan. I plan to go here, 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 go here. But things are very difficult. Pray for me. You see, they have their plan. They just want God's endorsement. Like Saul, he wanted to fight a battle. He just wanted a sacrifice to be made so that they can do the sacrifice, so that I can go and fight. You can see the difference between the heart of David and the heart of Saul. Saul just, let's just kill the animal and can go and fight this war. This thing is just a sacrifice we have to do. The prophet said we should do sacrifice. So it is a mental thing. It is not of the heart. David would treat the things of God with so much joy. He would invent musical instruments to go with the sounds he has heard in the spirit, so that the the sound can echo that of the angels that sing whenever he's praying. David was such a man who has a heart for God and a love for God. And I'm saying to you that this is not something that cannot be learned. I also learned it. If you see any benefits in joining the teachings, if you've heard anything wise or reasonable or godly from my mouth, any utterance that is of God for me, if you've gained anything, learned anything, seen anything, if you've seen the power of God move so much, it is not from faith, it is from love. I just love God. Even though I'm not saying it, I'm telling you before, I just love God. I just love God. I put God first. I think of him all the time. When you see me right, I basically spend my day meditating on God, bringing forth songs, bringing forth write-ups, bringing forth answers, counseling people, healing the sick, praying. That's what I spend my life doing. But I do not do it as a stress or as a job. I do it because I love the Lord. I love what he called me to do. I find it very fitting for my nature. I do not count myself as somebody working. I find myself living a leisure life. But beyond all that, there is a love in my heart for God that nobody can take. And I'm saying to you, love the Lord. Let your heart be in the right place. Let it not be. Don't serve a God of the gaps. You can check that out. A God that provides for all the gaps in your life. When there is no light, is your light. When there is no food, is your sustenance. When there is no car, is your transportation. When there is no clothes, is your clothes of righteousness. It is God that fills the gap of your life. Don't let God be the one. It's the materialistic hypothesis. There is a place in your heart that eternity has been put into your heart. That once you connect that place with God, you will see clearly. Your eyes of understanding will be so enlightened. You will see clearly. You will speak plainly. You will come to understand all the things, all the ramblings I'm doing. You will come to understand it beyond my words. you will no longer worry about anything. I'm telling you, you will sleep under a tree, you will sleep in a five-star hotel, it will not change anything about you. You will just know that you belong to the Lord, and that is good. And that is where your heart must be. I sent out two class notes today on this. I believe that if you read them, you will see my more logical presentation of this topic. I deliberately wanted to teach it in a philosophical way so that nobody will write down points. And again, the thing that I'm saying that Moses, that I was saying that Moses did that affected the Israelites, I don't want anybody, a lot of people like to write this down when I'm teaching. And at the end of the day, writing it down will not help you. It has to be a becoming from within. You must hear, you must then do, you must then set your affections on the Lord and do these things, not write it down and put it on a paper. That does not help anybody. It's time to give our offering. Today we are giving our offering as an expression of love to the Lord. As an expression of love to the Lord. I know that maybe this will be the first time I'll teach on this, but I believe that it will change a lot of us if we would put it into practice, if we would love the Lord, if we would not only confess it to the Lord, sing songs of love to Him, but also consider Him consistently in our thinking. When we think, when we are sitting down, when we lie down, what can I do for the Lord? That should be the question. How can I please the Lord today? What can I do for the Lord? Not God, come and do this thing for me now. God, I've been praying for 3 days. No, that the heart of it. What can I do for the Lord? How can I be a blessing to the Lord? How can I bless the Lord? How can I minister to Him today? If He says so, give to this, okay. Do that, okay. I'll do this for me, okay. Whatever the Lord says to you, whatever He says, your duty is to love Him the way a mother loves a baby. That is the simplest way I can put it. The way a mother, the way a father, I know how I love my children. And I always even tell the children, I'll tell them that I can, because of how I love you, I learned how to love God from how I love you. When I became a father, I know how I love my children. And I say to myself that if I say I love God, sometimes it's like I love these children more than God in my head. I used to think it years ago. When they were babies, I would say, ah, the way I love these children, if this is how God loves me, ah, my life is good. Because these children, I will prepare for everything from A to Z for them. I will even be telling them when they are crying. I'll say, if only you know what is on ground for you, you will not be crying, just be enjoying. I bought this, I bought this, I bought this. I say, ah, if God, I cannot say God, I love my children more than how much God loves me. Therefore, I'm the one that's not loving God enough. So I switched my mind. I said, this is how I will love God. I will love God in such a way that there is nothing in this world that God cannot entrust to me or do for me or do with me or do through me. Because He knows that I love Him. And I know that the Lord loves me. I bless your offering today. I declare that as I've heard the word of my mouth spoken so clearly, and as your spirits are responding to the word of admonition, that you find yourself growing in your love of the Lord. You find yourself deepening your love for God. You find yourself experiencing the fullness of His love in dimensions that eyes have never seen before. You find yourself losing all anxiety and worry and all those things and coming into the fullness of the understanding of the love of God. You find yourself walking in it. You find yourself expressing freely the love of God to all mankind. I declare that you are blessed and that the hand of the Lord is upon you, and that from today you begin to see supernatural answers to all your prayers at every level, because the love of God will speak and faith will be so freely expressed in you all the days of your life. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let the blessing of the Lord shout glory.
Glory!
Glory to